falls into deep. And I want to preach to you tonight on the calling. The calling. The calling. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is precious to us. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for the closing hours of this day that we have together. I pray that you would anoint me mightily tonight to speak to your people, to speak to their lives. I pray that there would be a dramatic difference awaiting us outside these doors. I pray you would use me tonight to preach as the oracles of the Lord and to minister grace unto the hearers. We pray all these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Everybody shout amen. Alguien grite gloria a Dios. Amen. Let's give the Lord a great big hand clap of praise. Amen. Shake your neighbor's hand. Give them a great big God bless you. And you may be seated. Our personality, our character is shaped primarily from three fields of influence. I will list them very quickly in descending order or backwards. The first is the land we are from. The country we are from. The second is our relatives and our private and public relations, what the Bible calls our kindred. The last, which is really the first, is our parents. Our parents. When God decided to form a people and shape a nation of his own, he began by placing its founding father, Abraham, directly outside the range of these three fields of influence. He told Abraham, come out from your land, come out from your kindred, and come out from your father's house. It would seem strange to us today that the shaping of an individual, let alone a nation, would begin outside the range of these three fields. But this is, in fact, the motif that God used, and he uses it up to this day. If you are uncomfortable with living outside of these three fields, you are going to miss out on a very beautiful blessing from God. I love America, but there are a lot of un-American things that God does. I love all my friends, my kinfolk, but there's a lot of things that God could care less what my friends think about. I love my parents, but there's a lot of things that God does not do like my parents. And if we are ever going to enter into a full orb experience with God, we are going to have to be comfortable with living outside of these three fields of influence. God does this in order to demonstrate the superiority of his kingdom above human kingdoms. God will take us out of everything that constitutes an earthly kingdom and human experience in order to demonstrate just how superior his experience and his kingdom is to anything humans know. Yeah. Amen. In fact, this is one of the more beautiful revelations regarding John 3 and 5 when Jesus says, lest you be born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. And what Jesus is saying here, he is not saying that unless you are born again, you will not visually see the streets of gold and the gates of pearl, because everybody actually will see that. Amen. Because no king judges from outside of his palace. Everybody will see exactly what they missed. by choosing not to be born again. But what Jesus is saying is that unless you be born again, you will not perceive the kingdom of God. Me being Lord in somebody's life will never make sense to you. You will not see that word kingdom can be interchangeably used with the word government. You will never perceive the government of God. You will never understand why people clap, shout, dance. It will be a blur to you. You'll never understand why people come and drop money in an offering plate. You will never understand why people yield their lives without reservation. If you are not born again, you will just stand around the church and scratch your head. Visitor, if you're here tonight waiting for God to show you something, amen, that will help you make up your mind about living for Him, amen, you're going to be waiting a long time, perhaps an eternity. God wants you to get in, and then you will see the kingdom of God. Then you will understand. Not only will you not see the government of God, you will not enter into the government of God. You will not be a citizen of God's government. You will never be a recipient of the blessings of God. You may be the recipient of national benefits. You may be the recipient of family-based benefits, but you will never be the recipient of God-based benefits. You will not be part of this government. I don't know about you, but there is no other country, no other citizenry, no other blessing that I want more than that that comes from the kingdom of Jesus Christ. It is superior. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Now, when God began to shape His own nation and His own people, one of the first things He does is, and even with us privately, but He did this on a large scale. He did this with the nation of Israel. He took them out. He took them out of their land of nativity. To them, Israel was the center of all spiritual activity. In their minds, everything significant happens within Israel. When you read your Bible carefully, you will even notice that there's an emotional tone to the way the Bible talks about Israel or Jerusalem. In fact, just subtle nuances, such as you'll notice in your Bible, it always talks about going up to Jerusalem. You never go down. It does not matter where you're at. You always go up to Jerusalem. Because it was more than just terra firma. It was a spiritual place. The temple was there. The place where David danced and prayed. The place where Abraham and prayed. It was a spiritual hub. It still is. But God took all the Israelites away from Jerusalem. He took them away from their parents. He took them away from their kindred. He took them away from their land. And He did this several times in the Old Testament. But one of the most significant times that this is done is in 586 when Nebuchadnezzar comes and plunders the temple there in Jerusalem, totally lays it to waste, and the Jews are carried away to Babylon. It is in Babylon, outside of Jerusalem, prior to them going into Babylon, and I know some of you, this doesn't matter, some of you are going to like this, bear with me, I'm almost done preaching. In the Bible, the Semite people are called Hebrews all the way up until they are taken into Babylon. And when they come out of Babylon, they are no longer called Hebrews. They are called Jews. Because it is in Babylon that they learn to apply everything they had ever received. And now they are no longer a people tied to land. They are now Jews. They can take what they got everywhere they go. It is in Babylon that they first write the Torah out. It is in Babylon where they first begin to establish dietary laws. It is in Babylon where they get the word kosher or kosher, which means that how they cook and prepare all their foods. It is in Babylon that they really solidify their walk with God, because it is in Babylon that they learn no matter where we are, God is there with us. No matter where we are, God never leaves us. No matter where we are, His word is true. It is in Babylon that they learn not just Jerusalem, but the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the inhabitants and they that dwell therein, including this king, he belongs to God, and we belong to God, and nothing can get outside of the field of his influence. Spiritually speaking, we are in a Babylon right now. We are in a Babylon right now. And we're not coming out. We are here until Jesus comes to get us. If you are waiting for God to convert the world, you are going to be waiting for a long time. In fact, the world is not going to change. I know, and I hope I don't sound misanthropic here. I'm not that. But movies aren't going away. Vile imagery is not going away. Filthy language is not going away. Drugs are not going away. God will create a whole new earth for that. And so the question tonight is, what do we do when we're deep in Babylon? The answer is, we go deep in Babylon. When we are deep in Babylon, we go deep in Babylon. Because deep calls unto deep. When we are living in a wicked and perverse world that is not going to get better, the only answer is to go deeper in God. As the music gets worse, we have to sing louder. As the parties get worse, we have to dance harder. As the voices get louder, we have to pray louder. I'm here to tell you tonight, there is only one answer to the depth of sin. It is a depth of righteousness. There is only one answer to this decrepit world. It's a sold out church. I know a lot of people that want answers because we are living in a crazy world. Here is the answer. You gotta go crazy for Jesus. You gotta fight fire with fire, saint of God. I wish there was an easy solution. There is not an easy solution. You're going to have to come to church. You're going to have to get your prayer and your praise on. You're going to have to fast. You're going to have to memorize some Bible verses for yourself. This is not just good for kids on the Bible quizzing team. This is good for adults trying to get to heaven. Come on, somebody. Deep calls unto deep. We are deep in this thing. We are deep in the end times. We are deep in the enemy's territory. We are deep in the prophetic. We are deep in the promises. Deep calls unto deep. And God is looking for people to go deep. Hey, young person, the worse your high school gets, the deeper you're going to have to get in God. There's just not another answer. Hey, young man, the worse the world gets, the deeper you're going to have to go in God. The worse the imagery, the worse the music, the worse the calling, the deeper we're going to have to get into God. There's no other option. There's no other solution. There's no other way. Daniel found himself in Babylon, and Daniel had no option. Amen. The things were getting worse. The writing was on the wall. The kings were breathing threatenings. And what did Daniel do? He went into his room and he prayed 3 times a day. Let me tell you this. Daniel was not just praying 3 times a day because it was a good idea. In fact, if you want to know the truth, Daniel was praying 3 times a day, amen, according to the 3 sacrifices made a day in Jerusalem. If you are going to go deep, I want you to know, it's going to be a sacrifice. You don't go deep easy. Amen. Deep requires a sacrifice. It requires you turning the phone off. It requires you maybe even passing up some stuff. It requires waking up at times you don't normally wake up at. It requires passing the plate. It requires... You can't go deep without a sacrifice. In fact, if there's not a sacrifice, you probably ain't going deep. I don't want to be a saint, amen, that's 500 miles wide and 2 inches deep. I want to be deep. I don't want to just be a shouter. I want to be a prayer. I don't want to just be a worshiper. I want to be a faster. I don't want to just be a tongue talker. I want to be a tither. I want to go deep in God. I want to go deep in God. Hey, oh, come on, somebody. I'm not going to preach long. I'm almost done. One of the most ridiculous things, and I hope I don't offend anybody today, but one of the most ridiculous things I see in Christianity today, it's this WWJD. What would Jesus do? People think they're going to traverse this perverse world asking themselves what Jesus would do. I got news for you. If you do not pray every day, if you do not get into your Bible every day, if you do not go deep in God, you won't know what Jesus would do. If you don't live like Jesus lived every day of his life, you won't know what Jesus would do. You will not be, you know, a lot of times we want to live for God like watching a sports highlight. You know, folks watch a sports highlight and they think, man, that guy jumped really high. I can't believe he broke that defensive line. He scored. Wow. Honey, let me tell you something. Homeboy's been practicing for years to be able to do that. He didn't, that's not the first time he's jumped that high. He's been jumping that high for a long time, but it was in private when the cameras weren't watching, when the game wasn't on. You got to get your game on when the game's not on if you're going to get your... I'm preaching to somebody right now. You want to beat this world? You got to do it when the lights are off. Hey, newsflash, church starts on Monday. Church starts, you want to get the victory? It starts tomorrow morning. And it trickles into Tuesday. And it trickles into Wednesday. And it trickles into Thursday. If you wait for church to be the first time for you to pray, you're going to lose all the battles, honey. You got to pray when the music ain't jamming. And the lights ain't on. And you're at the house. You got to... You ain't going to have a highlight moment for Jesus being a part-time praiser and a part-time worshiper and a part-time giver. It's got to be an all-day, 365, 24/7, pray without ceasing kind of thing. Daniel prayed 3 times a day, as he had done aforetime. Daniel realized, I'm living in an intense world. And this intense world demands an intense response. This world demands an intense response. I am one of those silly, old-fashioned saints that believes when people meet us, they ought to meet people that are just as sold out to what they're doing as they are to what they're doing. I believe that when people come across us, they should know you're kind of weird. You're kind of different. You're kind of unique. You really live this. Wow, you read your Bible a lot. Wow, you pray a lot. Wow, that's pretty brave of you to come to school dressed like that. That's pretty impressive. I believe that we ought to be those people that bow our heads at the mall, amen, and pray over that nasty food. I believe we ought to be those saints that are not afraid to lay hands on somebody at the gas station and answer deep for deep. I believe we ought to be those people, amen, that don't walk with the tuck head, but rather with our shoulders squared up, amen, on fire. Oh, Jesus. Come on, deep answers to deep. Deep answers to deep. You know, I just finished preaching a revival, and it was really quite amazing. We had several young children get the Holy Ghost, and when I say young children, I mean from 8 to about 16 and 17. By the time the revival was done, we had over 70 people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But in that revival, there was a young boy who was really getting a hold of God, and God was moving on him, and he had a crackhead dad. His dad was a bona fide crackhead. I'm not saying the guy was just, you know, dabbled with dope. He was a crackhead. And he told me in the revival, he said, "Brother Prado," he said, "pray for my dad." He said, "I believe that God is going to bring my dad in during this revival." I said, "I will pray with you, son." I remember they had a school there at the church. And I remember going into the cafeteria and I saw that boy. He wasn't trying to earn brownie points. He was trying to win his dad to God. And I remember when one of the boys offered him a sandwich and he said, "No, thank you." He said, "I'm fasting." 16 years old, but he was confident that he could go deeper than crack. He was confident that he could answer crack back with a day of fasting. Hey, can I tell you that 3 weeks into that revival, his dad came into the church. Hold on. His dad came into the church. His dad sat in the front and listened to the preaching. Before the preaching was over, his dad started walking out the back door. And I called out to him. I said, "Sir, before you leave, I'd like to pray for you. Why don't you come back over here?" He stood by the door. He looked down at the floor. He looked up at me again. He said, "Okay." He took a few steps to the front. And when he made it to the front, I laid my hands on his head. And that man fell flat on his back, speaking in other tongues. I'm telling you right now, you got to answer deep for deep. Amen. It wasn't me. It was a 16-year-old boy passing up pizza because he believed that deep can answer deep, and that God, oh, Jesus. You're not too young to fast. You're not too old to fast. You ain't too fat to fast, and you ain't too skinny to fast. You got to answer deep for deep. You got to fight this thing. You got to quit letting the sins that have your family bound intimidate you. You need to quit letting the sins that have Alabama bound intimidate you. We've got to believe that what we got in here is deeper than what's out there. We got to believe that what we got in here. Oh, Jesus. Oh, come on, come on, come on. Somebody's going to get the Holy Ghost tonight. Somebody's going to get. I feel the Holy Ghost. Come on. Come on, New Life. Let's magnify God. I know it's late. I'm preaching 100 miles per hour, but come on. Come on. Something's happening right now. Come on, come on, come on. I feel the Holy Ghost roaring in this house right now.
will magnify the Lord. Come on.
Let me just say this. I don't believe on chewing on saints. I don't believe that I believe it's bad manners and bad etiquette for me to get up here with a microphone and chew on saints. But let me just say this, and this is hopefully the most negative I'll be for the next 3 weeks. But let me say this. Even now, as I'm preaching, I am doing my best to be considerate of your time and your tomorrow and the things you got to do. But even as I'm preaching, I could feel it in the air. There are people that are thinking this service already went too long. I hope this wraps up soon. And we got a world out there that the party don't even start till 10 o'clock. And we got saints. We got saints that are wondering when church is going to be over. And it's not even so they can get up tomorrow morning at 5 to pray. It's so that they can hurry up and make it down to the salad bar. And so they can hurry up and go eat leftovers. Isn't it amazing that we think we're going to have revival when we're not even willing to go as deep as they go? We got to go fire for fire, punch for punch, kick for kick. Yep. Oh, Jesus. Come on, let's just shake it off. I love you. I won't preach long next Sunday night, but shake that spirit off. Shake that spirit off and come into the house of God with an attitude that says, I'm ready to stay as long as the Spirit says stay. I'm willing to pray as long as the Spirit says pray. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I just feel like somebody can shoot up a prayer tonight that'll loose the chains that got their parents bound. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I just... Oh, Jesus. I do not have a lot of time. And I'll tell you why I don't have a lot of time, because there's somebody here that's going to get the Holy Ghost tonight, and if I keep on preaching, they're going to leave in a few minutes. But let me tell you this. In that revival, there was a good sister, elderly saint. She had a brother, graduated from LSU, had more degrees than a thermometer. Lived in a huge home, big money, traveled all around the world, got AIDS, had a nervous breakdown, lost his mind. This woman had been praying for her brother for years. For years, all Baptist, the whole family. I remember, like it was yesterday, the pastor calling me at 12 o'clock and saying, Brother Prado, we need you to come. And I'm thinking, come where? He said, to the sanctuary. Sister so-and-so has brought her brother. The man has gone nuts. He's flipped out and he's dying. I remember walking into that sanctuary. The man was sitting right there on the front pew, shaking, trembling, mumbling, scratching, and picking away at himself. And there was his sister going deep, praying, praying, praying. We've got to get to the point where we let the devil know, I will be here the whole way through, buddy.
Come on, somebody. You need to serve notice on the devil tonight. I will be here the whole way through. You will not scare me away. You will not push me away. You will not thwart me. I will pray you down, devil, till you let go of my brother, my sister, my uncle, my auntie. I will answer your deep with deep. I remember this man, I walked up to him, I said, sir, he's shaking, trembling, picking at his face, bleeding. I said, sir, I am going to pray for you that Jesus fill you with the Holy Ghost. He kept mumbling, I'm damned, I'm cursed, nothing, no, picking at himself, trembling, shaking. I said, sir, listen to me, trust me, stop listening to the voices in your head. I said, I want you to lift your hands right now and tell Jesus you're sorry for all the wretched things you've done. He said, Jesus, I'm so sorry for everything I've done. I said, I want you to stand up now, and with all you got, I want you to begin to shout hallelujah unto the Lord. He stood up shaking like this. I could tell. I just can't even explain it to you. But it was, I could see that compulsive twitching all of a sudden turned into a Holy Ghost shake. And he started shaking like this, and he was still mumbling, and you could tell his nerves were still acting up on him, but he went in deeper, and he started shouting, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And in a matter of seconds, he started speaking in other tongues. And brother, when I tell you that in a matter of seconds, his whole countenance changed, he started speaking in tongues, and he looked over at us like this, and he started smiling as he was speaking in tongues. We took him over to the house. We filled up the hot tub. We baptized him in Jesus' name. And and he's sitting in the pew right now, clothed and in his right mind and ready for heaven. This didn't happen years ago. This happened weeks ago. This didn't happen across foreign land. This happened 3 hours from here. I'm telling you right now, you need to go deep, go deep, go deep. Oh, every hand lifted up. I'm done preaching. Come on. All across this building right now. Oh, Jesus. Come on, get aggressive with it. Get aggressive with it. Get nasty with it. Get ugly with it. You ain't gonna win this fight playing Pentecost. You gotta get real. Rebuke the spirit of drug addiction in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That's it, JP. Let your tongue go, JP. God's going to give it to you. He told her, come on, the Holy Ghost is being poured out in this sanctuary. I'm believing God to dispatch angels. As we go deep, God will go high. Satana la rabasa, Satana la rabasa.